Good morning, Franciscans. Well, here you are, all with bright, shining faces. It's Sunday. We're here to worship. It's wonderful. The Reverend Linda Hale is our guest preacher today, representing Episcopal Relief and Development. And we'll hear the story of our opportunity to extend our outreach from the very good outreach that we provide in our own communities of Green Valley and through the Diocese of Arizona to the wider world. I do have to tell you, there's a story going around that one Sunday we had a visitor show up here, a woman of mature years, and one of our ushers greeted her very appropriately at the door in the narthex. He said, "Good morning, ma'am. Where would you like to sit?" She said, "The front row, please." And the usher said, "You don't want to do that. We have a guest preacher today who's really boring." The woman said, "Do you know who I am?" The usher said, "No. Who are you?" "I'm the preacher's mother." The usher said, "Do you know who I am?" And the woman said, "No." He said, "Ah, oh, that's good." So this morning we have a good preacher with a great topic, and we have the lessons for the transfiguration of Christ on the Mount, and everything's printed, so here we go.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. I am delighted to be here. And I thank you all for inviting me. And I am, there we go. In some places, people don't like me that I'm using my iPad or my computer. And most of the time, I either use it or forget it. And sometimes I actually can't access what I put on it. I am not a computer literate person. But we'll do the best we can. I am a deacon. I am the Reverend Linda Hale. I ordinarily serve at Christ the King in Tucson. I became an ordained deacon up in the Diocese of Spokane 10 years ago. So I've been around a while, and I've been doing Episcopal Relief and Development as a layperson and as an ordained person for a little over 20 years. I've stuck with it that long because it's worth it. This is a ministry that is essential, in my mind, to the workings of the people of Christ. It was started in the 1940s by the then presiding bishop, and it was called the Presiding Bishop's Fund for World Relief, because it was the instrument of the presiding bishop, and it was for the relief of people who had been displaced, hurt, orphaned by World War II. Well, the whole organization has evolved bit by bit over the years until now it is Episcopal Relief and Development, because it is no longer the purview of the presiding bishop, although he definitely has a part, as our presiding bishop has a part in everything. I love that man. I think he's great. But Episcopal Relief and Development is Episcopal. Its purpose is relief. And its other purpose is development. Therefore, in 2000, it was changed to be the Episcopal Relief and Development. Now, as I was reading the lessons for today, because as any preacher would do, you read ahead and you find out what they're supposed to be saying. To me, all of these lessons have something to do with educating people, telling them who Jesus is, why we should listen to what he has to say, what he has to say, and how Episcopal Relief and Development can answer to that. So here we go. There are three main thrusts or emphases or whatever you would like to call them now for Episcopal Relief and Development. We have gone through a phase of Nets for Life where we took great steps to eradicating malaria in Africa. We have gone through the Millennium Development Goals until that time ran out. The Episcopal Relief and Development still supports the continuation of those goals and more. But I'm here to talk to you today about three things. One, the effects of climate on the population of the world. That changes our weather patterns. As it changes our weather patterns, it changes what can grow where. It changes our food production, not necessarily right here in Arizona, but worldwide. There are places now where brackish seawater is drowning cropland. Well, how do you deal with that? Part of what Episcopal Relief and Development does is teach people how to deal with the effects of the weather. Some of you may know the Right Reverend Megan Traquair, who is now the Bishop of Northern California. She was the canon to the ordinary to Bishop Kirk. Megan happened to be in Christ the King a few weeks ago, and she and I had a chance to have a conversation. Her parish, not her parish, but her set of parishes, her diocese, is the one that has been most affected by those fires last summer. You remember those? Awful. They destroyed the whole town of Paradise. She says that the effects of those fires on the people of her diocese has been disastrous. It's been very, very hard to deal with. One of the things that Episcopal Relief and Development does is help people figure out how to, one, prevent that kind of thing from happening, and two, deal with it after it does. In my part of the world where I come from, the Diocese of Spokane, there is an Indian reservation called the Yakima Nation. They had a bad fire there. So I got on the phone to the bishop, and the bishop recommended to Episcopal Relief and Development that they help, which they did, help rebuild homes and businesses on the reservation so that the people didn't suffer more than they absolutely had to. The other thing that Episcopal Relief and Development is working with is the development of women. Now, I noticed in the parish hall earlier, you have a good project going on here that is gathering funds for to send to Episcopal Relief and Development for the support of women. And that is important because when women are the breadwinners of a family, they are the backbone and the stability of the family. When women can have funds and adequate food, adequate clothing, their children do too. Their children prosper, the women prosper, and the men, the fathers, uncles, and grandfathers also prosper and get active in the support of the family. This is good. Episcopal Relief and Development, I know, is not the only way, not the only avenue for support for women. There's Kiva also that has microloans as well. So does Episcopal Relief and Development. And there are many others. I would recommend this one, Episcopal Relief and Development, for the reason that, by and large, about 10% of the money that comes in goes to support the organization. The other 90%, approximately, goes to support the various programs worldwide. That includes dealing with disasters here in the United States and elsewhere, supporting women, and the one that's closest to my heart, the 1,000 Days of Love about the raising of children. The 1,000 Days start prenatal help with parents, with mothers, and go on to and through year 6 of a child's life. I know from experience as a teacher in a district where there are lots of poverty-stricken people that there is a vast difference between a child who is supported at home in the early years and a child who is not. There is a huge difference, and I will give you an example. The district where I taught, we had bilingual program. I'm a bilingual teacher. We taught the kids in the language they understood. But nevertheless, the little five-year-olds, the little kindergartner kids, would come to school terrified. They had never been away from home. They'd hardly ever been out of the block they lived in. They were separated from their mom for the first time. Who knows what kind of life they had at home? Nobody knows, or we don't know. But they came to school scared to death. And then they were confronted by other kids and people, adult people, who spoke a language they did not understand at all, who were trying to get them to do things they didn't see any good reason for. These little Dickenses would fight, kick, bite, scream. We expected at the first of the school year that there would be bruises all over the kindergarten teachers because these little kids were scared. In contrast, the five-year-olds who came from homes where mom and dad were literate, where there was not a poverty, where there was adequate food, where they didn't sleep on a mattress on the floor in the garage. The kids who were raised, like you and I probably were raised, with parents who cared about us and took care of us, they came to kindergarten ready to go. Some of them could read. Most of them knew their alphabet. They could count. They could use scissors. They could use crayons. They knew what a pencil was. In some cases, these other little kids didn't know how to use an indoor bathroom. They asked to be excused and went out in the field because they didn't know any better. Episcopal Relief and Development has a major thrust this year, this time, in the development of young children. These little kids who get adequate nutrition, their brains form well. If they have clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, their bodies and their brains grow as they should. If they have parents who have support, parents who can help them, they grow well. It is to our benefit as a whole worldwide population if the young ones grow up strong and able, because they will be strong and able and sensible adults one of these days. I have brought with me two things for you. This is the Gifts for Life catalog. It is, to me, a very valuable thing, and I will give you an example from my own personal life. My husband was a Baptist, and I'm an Episcopalian, and I had to talk like a Dutch auntie to get him to join me in contributing to Gifts of Life. Well, aside from being a Baptist, he was also an optometrist, and he counted himself a scientist. So as we went through the catalog, we found a place where he could support medical training for nurses, and I could support education for nurses. So between the two of us, we found a way to get along just fine. This, I find in my home church in Tucson, the kids absolutely love Gifts for Life because they can get together and buy a goat, or they can hold, the whole family can get together and buy a cow, or a hive of bees, or chickens, and the training on how to do them, as well as different skills sets that people will need worldwide. The other gift that I brought for you today is the Lenten meditation book. This has proved very handy. I use it every year. Several people do, you may know. It's here. I'm not sure whether they're still out in the narthex, but I know there are some in the parish halls. So these are a gift for you. I'd like to go back just a little bit to the biblical reason for the existence of Episcopal Relief and Development. That comes from Matthew 25. And I'll look for it right here because I wrote it down and quoted it, so I'd be sure to get it right. Okay. I talked without this. There we go. Nope. I told you about my abilities with, well, to paraphrase. Matthew 25 has Jesus talking to his followers, thanking them, and saying they are blessed to be in the kingdom prepared for them from the beginning of the world. Because when he was hungry, they gave him food. When he was thirsty, they gave him something to drink. When he was naked, they clothed him. When he was sick, they visited him. And his followers asked him, "What? When did we do this for you? When did we feed you when were you hungry? When were you thirsty and we gave you to drink? When were you naked and we clothed you? When? And Jesus said, "When you do these things to the least of these, my people, my brothers, my family, you do them for me." That hit me right between the eyes. Because the second part of that gospel says, when you don't do this, when you do not feed the hungry, give clean water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the sick, you don't do it for me. Now, happens to be, I love Jesus. I can't imagine myself not doing these things. And I suspect, since you are here this morning, You can't imagine yourself not doing it either. But you certainly can't imagine yourself doing these things. And Episcopal Relief and Development is an excellent way to put feet to your beliefs. Thank you.
Alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.